pack your bags, start the car, and get on the road. It's time to go across the country, 2 minutes at a time, for the biggest stories of the day, where they're happening.
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Indianapolis, Indiana.
Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Cleveland, Ohio.
Boston, Mass.
Miami, Florida.
It's the 2 minute drill on the program.
Second half of the program begins right now with the drill. Talking to people covering the stories where they're happening, and where they're happening in Cincinnati, Ohio. Lance McAllister, 700 WLW, is there. Lance, how are you, sir?
I am well. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, and what do we think here? The Bengals game was incredibly exciting, and we thought, wow, we got one good playoff game finally. We end up having a whole weekend of great football. Where's the confidence level right now after getting by the number one seed Titans?
You know, it is oozing here, and it kind of flows through the veins of Joe Burrow, and so much of Joe's messaging has led this team to feed off of him and this city to feed off of him. And the beauty of this team is they are unlike the fan base. They carry no burden of the past. For years, this is a tortured fan base, 31 years without a playoff win. There have been heartbreak moments. This team is so young, they have no connection to the past. They don't care about the past. The classic line used with this team is they don't know what they don't know. They're young, they're brash, they're confident, and they're kind of doing their own thing, and the confidence builds as they watch Joe Burrow kind of be the Pied Piper of all this.
Yeah, I know what Cincinnati's going through because we went decades without a win in the postseason for the Kansas City Chiefs, and a long time looking for that franchise quarterback, and I know how euphoric it was to see Patrick Mahomes explode on the scene. I assume Joe Burrow is already the most popular man in Cincinnati?
There is no question. You would find discussions on street corners about what the statue should look like when they build it for Joe Burrow. It's a swagger and it's a confidence. And I'm so impressed with his ability to change the messaging. Early in the year, it was kind of, why not us? You know, we can do this. Saturday after the win, it was kind of like, I'm tired of the narrative of us being the underdog. And his players feed off that, and the city feeds off that. And there is such a swagger, and yet at the same time, a calm and a confidence to Joe Burrow. It gives this city a feeling, no matter who they go up against, they've got a chance. And the reality is, when Andy Dalton was here, they made the playoffs for five straight years, and Andy's one of the nicest guys you'd ever want to meet. There was always that the check mark went to the other team's quarterback when it came to the postseason. Now you have to make a decision sometime on that check mark. In a lot of cases, Joe certainly got it over the weekend against Ryan Tannehill. Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes, but he gives them a fighting chance now, and that wasn't always the case when Andy Dalton was here.
Yeah, no doubt. What about protecting Joe Burrow? 9 sacks. They're able to overcome it. The Chiefs don't have the same kind of pass rush that the Titans do, but they do have Chris Jones, and they will blitz. Is that the biggest fear for the Bengals, is protecting Joe Burrow?
No question. And it's been the biggest fear since the offseason, since Joe came back from the knee injury early on in the season. Everybody, I think to an extent, people still hold their breath every time he drops back to pass. And when he gets hit, they hope he gets up off the ground. He got beaten, battered, bruised, and mugged on Saturday. I wondered early in the game. He got sacked on the very first play, 3 times in the first quarter, and you had that pit in your stomach. Is he going to last this game? They've got to get better, and Zach has done a good job of deflecting criticism, saying some of it's on the O-line, some of it's on Joe. He's got to get the ball out of his hands quicker, some of it on the running backs and tight ends who have to pick up free runners. If that's the case, collectively, they have to do a better job, because when you give him time, you saw him get the most time he had on his final throw of the game. It was an 18-yard throw into a tight window. He dropped a dime to Jamar Chase, set him up for the field goal that won the game. That's when he had time, and if he does that, he's as good as anybody or better in the NFL.
Jamar Chase, we heard, drop balls all through training camp and in the preseason. He'd even had a game where it was like one catch for 3 yards, I think, before the week or two before they played the Chiefs. And then he's all worldly against the Chiefs. Are the drops gone, or are they still around, and the Chiefs just got the worst-case scenario, a great talent that was on his game that day?
They are gone. It was a legitimate concern in the preseason because it was happening before our eyes covering the team each day in training camp. But he has been so dynamic, and I think everybody expected, as high as he went in the draft, he would be an impact player. his greatness has changed the trajectory of this season, teaming with Joe Burrow. And they are on the, it's like a mental telepathy thing on the same page where they just have a great sense. If Joe knows and has confidence of where Jamar is going to be, and the route he ran on the catch that set up the game winner was a thing of beauty on Saturday. And he is, he's quick. He's strong. He's thick in the legs. He can do it all. And you know, the beauty of it, watching him play, is the body reaction, the body language of opposing corners after they connect. You can see the shoulders slump and sometimes the hands turn up like, what the blank was I supposed to do on that play? I had him covered and he still beat me. And that's how dynamic he's been this season.
Yeah, he's been absolutely phenomenal. All right, what was the view of what you saw last night with the Chiefs and Bills? What does Cincinnati think they're getting with the Chiefs after that game?
Well, it was funny. I talked with Lou Anarumo, their Bengals defensive coordinator, this morning, and I said, so, you know, with going late into the evening, not knowing who you were going to play, were you actually watching the game? And he says, yeah, I was watching the game, throwing up at the thought of Patrick Mahomes doing what he did last night. And they have great respect for Patrick's, you know, decision-making and his ability to run. And Lou pointed out just the arm strength to get it once he does decide to throw, wherever he wants to throw it. They did a good job against him in the first matchup. Heck, Jamar Chase had more receiving yards than Patrick Mahomes had passing yards. And that can be traced back to what the Bengals did with Travis Kelce and with Tyreek Hill. Kelce's longest catch was 9 yards that day. Hill's longest catch was 17 yards that day. I think combined they had 65 yards receiving. That's going to be tough to replicate. I expect a shootout, but they know fully what they're getting into. And Lou's been very good at being able to kind of mix and match and tweak his game plans from week to week. And really, this team as a whole, I kind of call them a chameleon offense. They can change their offense to whatever they need from one week to the next. They've won by running. They've won by passing. They've won in games they've had to muck it up. They've won in high-scoring games. They won for the weekend in a low-scoring game. And it's been perhaps their best calling card this year.
Well, we feel like the Chiefs are going to have to score some points because defensively they've been giving up quite a bit. So this looks like it'll be another track meet between these two. When it's all said and done, what's your prediction on the game?
I think it's high scoring. I'll go until Joe gives me reason not to believe. I just think the confidence of this team. And one thing I think the Bengals will point to, Joe Burrow's second time around against teams, Vegas this year, Steelers this year, Ravens this year, he has the unique ability to process what he sees the first time and move the chess pieces in his head the second time. I know I'm going to sound like a homer here. I think it's going to be high scoring. I wouldn't shock me if it gets into the 40s, but I think the Bengals are going to, they've been a road warrior this year. I think they're going to find a way to win the football game.
All right, we'll see if it happens. It's going to be here at Arrowhead, 2 o'clock on Sunday. Game can't get here soon enough. Lance McAllister in Cincinnati. Great stuff, buddy. We appreciate it. Have yourself a great week.
Thanks, you too.
Roxy Bernstein, 95.7 The Game, A's Radio, ESPN, Westwood One. He literally does it all. Roxy, how are you, sir?
Saran, doing great, my pal. How are you?
Doing very good. You know, kind of in spite of Jimmy Garoppolo, the 49ers are moving on in horrible weather conditions and against the number one seed. There's nothing to knock about getting a win in the NFL and certainly not getting a postseason win. Where's the confidence level in the Niners as they get ready to try to beat a Rams team that they've already beaten twice?
Confidence is really high. And as you alluded to, they've beaten them twice and not just dominated the Rams this year, Saran. You go back in the recent years, Kyle Shanahan versus Sean McVay, and the Niners have had the upper hand. So they're going to have a lot of confidence, and they also surrender feeling like they're going to play a home game on Sunday, even though it's in L.A. That's been the biggest talk around here, is how can the 49er fans gobble up tickets? And the Rams went even as far online as to try to limit who can buy the tickets. In other words, if you sign up to buy tickets and you don't have a credit card address in the L.A. surrounding area, they're denying you the ability to buy tickets. The Niners, the prices are driving up on the secondary market. They're going to invade what they have termed Levi's South, SoFi Stadium. Again, if you saw Week 18 when they played, it was probably 60-40 Niner fans in L.A., and I'm expecting the same for the game on Sunday.
Yeah, that's amazing. The L.A., they're finding out. Jeff Chedia from NFL Network said this. The NFL is reminding themselves why these teams left Los Angeles in the first place when you see how these tickets are going to the other teams. Like, L.A. just is not going to get fired up about these games. It is difficult to beat a team three times, and these Rams do seem to be playing their best football. They're not going to win with Jimmy Garoppolo being 11 of 19 for 131, no touchdowns and an INT, are they?
No, he has to play better. And look, they got down 17-0 in that game in Week 18. It was a must-win for the 49ers just to get into the playoffs. And they came back. Jimmy led him down the field on a drive to get a field goal right before half that really seemed to swing the momentum to the 49ers' side. And the second half, the Niners took it to the Rams. And look, Jimmy G wasn't the only quarterback that struggled Saturday night at Lambeau Field, and the guy on the other sideline is pretty darn good. So, but defensively for the 49ers, Bosa was back, which is huge. Fred Warner played at a tremendous level in that game against Green Bay. I think a big key and a concern for the Niners going into this game with the Rams is the situation with Trent Williams, who's been banged up. He was seen going in for x-rays after the game against the Packers. They do have an extra day to rest, to get ready for that, plus the short trip down to Los Angeles. But the Niners are going to be really confident. I know there's that old adage, it's hard to beat a team three times in one season. You know what, Soren, it's hard to play a team three times in one season. So I don't think that really matters for much. And considering the way the Niners have owned the Rams, and look, I don't usually go around quoting Dana Stubblefield, but he had an expression years ago. I didn't even think when the Rams were in St. Louis, when the Niners were owning the Rams back then. And same old Niners, same old sorry, you know what, Rams. Well, we'll see if that also is true on Sunday.
Is Jimmy G a foregone conclusion? This is it, the farewell tour? Or if he takes them deep, do they say, you know what, we got to stay the course with him and let's look at moving the kid?
You know, it strikes me that this team is really rallying around him. They have come to his defense, and they have completely jumped on board with Jimmy G. If you look at some of the comments from Debo Samuel, from George Kittle, about what Jimmy G has really driven this team. So let's say they win on Sunday and they go to the Super Bowl, and even if they don't win it, how do you get rid of a quarterback that just took you to the Super Bowl? And it's not only the first time he's taken you to the Super Bowl. I get it. You have a lot invested in Trey Lance. You gave up three number one picks. He's going to be the 49ers quarterback at some point. But if this team is rolling and they're still in that window, how do you make that move and get rid of him if you're having this much success? I see a path where Jimmy G is still the 49ers quarterback in 2022.
Yeah, interesting. All right, what's your prediction on the game? Who wins? What's the score?
I think the Niners win it, and the way they're rolling right now, look what they've done the last few weeks, right? They went to L.A. and won. They went to Dallas and won. They went to Lambeau Field and beat the Packers. And they've owned the Rams, so I'm going Niners 24, Rams 14. How's that?
All right. We'll see if it ends up being right. Roxy Bernstein in the Bay Area. Great stuff, buddy. We appreciate it. Have yourself a great week.
You too, Soren. Take care.
Pete Fox, KLOS in Los Angeles, California is next. Pete, how are you, sir?
Doing good, my man.
The Rams making me look good. At least I got a couple of predictions right. One of them was that the Rams would beat the Bucks, but man, they made it a lot closer than it should have been. I mean, it was total destruction until they started handing the ball to the Tampa Bay Bucks. You know, the Rams fans, you know, just about to have a heart attack watching that thing end.
Yes, just about, right? There was a lot of foul language being hurled at the television and probably some objects as well across Los Angeles. But the problem was really Cam Akers. And, you know, it was all about Sean McVay showing faith in him as he's been out for quite a while and kept giving him the ball, and Akers kept coughing it up. You know, he fumbled at the 1 yard line, then fumbled late in a more crucial position. So, you got to understand that McVay, or appreciate rather, that McVay had faith in him and he kept going to him. But you'll have to wonder if he'll do that in a similar situation this Sunday. So, you know, Akers has been good for them. He didn't rack up a lot of yards along with the fumbles, just 48. So it wasn't really like, well, but, you know, the other thing that you can't help but overlook in that game, or help notice rather, is that, you know, how much of that went into the 27-3 lead? Because that game did seem like a snore right up until the fourth quarter. So if the fans are noticing that, you got to assume the players are as well. And, you know, it's, I guess the other potential bright side that you can take from that is that, hey, it's a wake-up call, and you can't let anyone off the hook. You can't take anyone lightly. You have to put your foot on the throat and move forward. So I think that's what the Rams take out of that game, and that when they are with their backs against the wall, you know, they can move the ball down the field in under a minute and set up a game-winning field goal.
And the other takeaway is that I don't think anybody will try to play as bad a defense against Cooper Kupp as the Bucs did. I mean, they seem shocked that this guy's good. Like, how many yards does this guy got to have before you come up with a better game plan than what they had? I mean, isn't that the most surprising thing, how easy it was for Stafford to get the ball to Kupp? I mean, there was a couple times he was flat out left uncovered.
Sure, it is a very good point, but at the same time, he made a lot of people look that way throughout the season. I mean, he makes it look easy. I don't know if people aren't aware of him. I mean, he did win the Triple Crown this year, so maybe they'll play him differently next year. But, you know, yeah, there are times when he's just standing there wide open. I mean, I say the same thing about Tyreek Hill and, you know, Kelce. Sometimes they're just standing there wide open. How is that possible? So I guess it's not just Cooper Kupp and the Rams.
Yeah, no doubt. Great schematics, great scheming for Sean McVay, and then Stafford having the arm to make it happen. How did Stafford get going in the right direction? Because coming down the stretch, he was not playing well, and now he's red hot. What changed?
Well, I mean, their running game improved, so that gave him a little bit more ability. And I think he and OBJ got on the same page. Obviously, he and Cooper Kupp were good all season long, but the fact that he and OBJ became a little bit more simpatico and in sync, you know, because Odell Beckham joined the team, mid-season, and they took a while for them to get on the same page. So I think those were a couple of the factors that made life easier on Stafford. The running game thing, obviously getting Cam Akers back and getting Sony Michel to be a little bit more productive than he was, those are two big factors for Matt Stafford. But again, I said this a few times to you, I think he played better than, you know, some of the stats would indicate and some of the general national perception would indicate. He played pretty well down the stretch for them. You know, Rams fans just get upset, kind of heat of the moment, in a tight game. Like, let's get mad at him right now because he's not winning the game for us right at this moment.
You know, last year the Tampa Bay Bucs became the first team to play the Super Bowl in their home stadium, Rams, and it never happened before, right? So now the Rams trying to make it two in a row, but they got to do it by winning at home. And I pointed this out when they played the first game against the Cardinals, that Matt Stafford's wife was on a radio show or on television urging Rams fans to not sell their tickets to Cardinal fans. I'm like, what state of affairs do you have when you're trying to outfan Phoenix? Right, not exactly. It's not Philly. It's not one of the great sports towns. We just had Roxy Bernstein say that they're not allowing people outside the L.A. metro area to buy tickets. Like, is this? He said he thought that the final game of the season, it was 60% Niner fans in the stands. Is that what it's going to look like on the NFC Championship game? More Niner fans than Ram fans?
Quite possibly, and even if it's, you know, 50-50 or 60-40 the other way, the visiting fan is always louder than the home fan, at least in our town. Maybe not in your town, but in our town, when the Raiders are playing and when there's another big team like Philadelphia or Dallas, those type of teams bring the fans, and they're always louder than the home fans. So there's been a handful of articles written today in L.A. as to how it's possible that the home team is outmanned by the visiting team, especially when it's a rival like the Niners. And one of the theories was that it's about the price of the tickets. You know, it's just so much more expensive for a Ram game than a game in any other stadium, just about. You know, to help pay for SoFi Stadium. So that's one of the theories. And you know, the other theory is that that this old theory that goes against L.A. fans is that they have better things to do, even in the playoffs. You know, the weather's great, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I feel like it'll be a pretty decent turnout, but I don't think it's going to be overwhelming where the home team is drowning out the visitors. And the Rams are used to it, right? I mean, it's not the first time they've been in this situation, and it won't be the last.
Yeah, interesting. All right, give me your prediction on the game. Who wins? What's the score?
You know, one of the things that a lot of people overlook with the fact that the Niners have won five in a row against the Rams is a lot of those games over the last couple of years were the last game of the season, and it didn't really mean much to the Rams. So this last one did, but did it? I don't know. I mean, it would have helped the Rams a little bit, but not tremendously. So that was a game that it appeared the Rams gave it their all to win, but they didn't and lost in overtime. So I feel like the Rams are playing as good as they can right now, and they're firing on all cylinders. You know, I'm not going to throw in the home field thing because that didn't mean a whole lot over the last few games. So I think the Rams win this one, but I think it'll be close. I'm thinking 27-24, something like that. It'll probably come down to a field goal at the end like every other game did this weekend.
Yeah, I think it's the way Stafford's playing. The quarterback's better for the Rams, so take the better quarterback. I think the Rams get it done as well. We'll have to see when Sunday rolls around. Pete Fox in Los Angeles. Great stuff as always, buddy. Appreciate the time. Have yourself a great week.
You too, man. Thanks.
He's been a top NFL insider for 15 years.
We'll see how that's received.
Well, it's interesting, too, because this
Hold
is
on
all
a second.
Adam's on the phone. Okay. We'll talk
to him. That's how good he is. That's how good he is.
He's been honored by Frank Caliendo.
Based on what I've been told, word around the league is many fans struggle understanding what an NFL insider is all about.
He's even been in the movies. He's Adam Schefter of ESPN in the program.
Talk some NFL football with Adam Schefter, brought to you by our friends at Twin Peaks. Nobody does happy hour like Twin Peaks. Whatever your preference is, they got everything. Tequila cocktails, an extensive bourbon category. Top shelf spirits, cocktails served over ice balls, local craft beers, handcrafted whiskey cocktails, round out an adventurous drink menu. It is second to none. Don't forget about those 29-degree man-sized draft beers at Twin Peaks. TVs everywhere, made from scratch menu. Grab you some burgers. They got great, great burgers there at Twin Peaks. I would highly recommend them. Go check them out right now. TwinPeaksRestaurant.com. It is the ultimate happy hour. It's at Twin Peaks. Let's welcome Adam Schefter from ESPN to the program. Adam, how are you?
Hello there, Seren. How you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good. I survived. I maybe because I thought there was no hope that it wasn't the jolt that it could have been. What's your reaction to 13-second comeback?
Incredible. And it's amazing that the Chiefs could accomplish in 13 seconds what the Dallas Cowboys couldn't accomplish in 14 seconds. It was a testament to Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, the coaching staff. I mean, just incredible to watch that, right? Like, there aren't many teams, individuals, units that could do what they did. And I think the Bills probably would like to have that kickoff done over so that they could squib kick it and have some time run off the clock, because they kicked it off, went touchback, Chief start, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, bam. And so that probably wasn't the wisest way to manage the end of the game, but you know, you're right in the thick of things. And it's easy to second guess it. And as we've talked about on the show, I always say to you, if they do something that doesn't work, they're going to be called on it. And so they're going to be called on today because the stakes were as high as they were. And as I thought about it, Chiefs being in their fourth straight conference championship game, the type of run that Kansas City could only dream about in the mid-90s when they were trying to get to the Super Bowl. We talked all season long about the Chiefs and would they get to this point. And here they are. And we probably shouldn't be surprised. Hosting the AFC championship game. For all the ways it went up and down, the stock value rose, sunk. In the end, it wound up where it should be, probably, having to beat the Bengals to get to Super Bowl 56. So,
go ahead. I'm sorry, Adam.
I mean, you take over.
Well, it was amazing, and you know, something we're going to be talking about forever here. Have we gotten to the point that the offense has gotten so good that Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen and the receivers are so good that defense doesn't matter? Because that was the number one defense in the NFL that the Chiefs went up and down the field against. I mean, is that the skill level reached a point that doesn't matter how good you are at defense, these quarterbacks are going to keep scoring?
and shredded them, right? Shredded them. I don't know that we'll ever see a game, where there are 25 points scored in, what was it, a minute and 54 seconds, final minute 54. I mean, what a weekend. What a weekend, right? Like, four divisional playoff games that all ended on the last play of the game. They all decided on the last play of the game. Think about it. I mean, that's crazy to think about.
We talked about it earlier. It was already called the greatest weekend of football before the greatest game of the weekend happened.
Well, you see, Surin, I know everyone loved that game last night. But I thought the Titans-Bengal game was tremendous. Mm-hmm. I thought the 49ers-Packers game at the end, it started slow, but down the finish was in its own way incredible. Rams-Bucks, wow. I guess just because the explosive nature of the game, the up and down nature of it. Yeah. I mean, that probably was the best game, probably. But the other three were damn good, too.
Yeah. Did we see, let's discuss the other games. Did we see, was that the last time we see Aaron Rodgers in a Packers uniform?
Listen, he set it up this summer to have the ability to do what he wants this winter. I mean, that's what he did, right? They negotiated a way out for him. He didn't have the leverage last summer that he will have this winter. He just didn't. Now he does. That was what the Packers gave him to report last summer, which was in question about whether he would. And so let's take some time now and think about what he wants to do. I felt like, as did others around the league, he was saying goodbye to Green Bay on Saturday. That's what it sounded like to me. Now, we'll see. You know, he may sit down with them, change his mind, decide to stay. But he certainly sounded like a player who was bidding farewell to an organization in the city on Saturday night. It reminded me, and I said this on the podcast that I just taped. They'll be out later today. But it felt an awful lot to me the way that the Tom Brady loss at home in what turned out to be his final game against the Titans was that Saturday. It was a Saturday night, a cold, snowy, icy Saturday night, divisional playoff round, home team's upset, plenty of questions with the legendary quarterback. Legendary quarterback doesn't slam the door on it, leaves it open, and then Tom Brady leaves a couple months later for Tampa. And I'm not saying that's how it will unfold, because there will be conversations, and certainly the relationship between Aaron Rodgers and the organization is better. But, I've spoken to a few people this week, and they all seem to think that it sounded like he was saying goodbye, and I agree with that.
Is Tom Brady saying goodbye?
Maybe. But the fact that it's a maybe is news, right? Like, it's never been maybe at the end of the year for him. So he's got to take some, and he loves the game so much. He's so good at it that maybe he will come back. Maybe he won't. Maybe he'll decide, what else am I going to accomplish playing this game that I've mastered? You know, he's the greatest player in history. Go down that way. He's going to win more Super Bowls, more games, more yards. Like, he's done everything he needs to do. Now, you know, if he comes back, he comes back because he loves it. He's great at it. But he'll take some time. We'll see how that shakes out. To me, the headline there is just that he's undecided right now. And I don't think that he's been undecided very often at the conclusion of other seasons.
Yeah, it's the first time it's actually a thought. That, like you said, makes it news. What about the OT rule? The Chiefs proposed, after they lost the 2018 AFC Championship game without getting a chance to have the ball, they proposed to, have the overtime rules changed, and it didn't really get any momentum there, so they actually, well, we looked it up, and there was no vote actually taken on it. So it wasn't like it was voted down. There was some people putting things out there that Buffalo had voted down the overtime rule change. And so, how they, were a victim of it. But do we think that the way that game ended, Andy Reid said, well, I'm glad the way it worked out this time, but I still think it's a shame, for the game to come down like that. Will they look at changing those OT rules?
Well, they didn't the last. I mean, there were proposals. The Chiefs made the proposal. It didn't really gain any traction. It didn't go anywhere after the 2018 AFC Championship game. There were other proposals. The Baltimore Ravens put forth one where it was like set and choose, where you do a coin flip and someone decides where you put the ball and the other decides, you know, who gets the ball first. Look, it's an imperfect system. I'm sure they'll go over options this offseason. I just don't like the fact that the biggest mistake Josh Allen made yesterday during the course of that game was calling tails. And because of that, didn't get the ball in overtime. You know, that to me is a little, it's just odd. And it's the plus. And, you know, if you don't want to change the regular season, I get that. You know, like, we don't want to put player safety at risk. But if you would ask every player, you know, would you be willing to play, you know, an extra 12 minutes so that it's decided in a fair, appropriate way, and that the coin flip doesn't have an influence, an impact? I think the obvious answer is yes, right? Like, the NFL, I think, has been pretty good about doing things that nobody thought it could, like basically establishing the concussion protocol system. It, you know, when I covered the league on a day-to-day, like one team, players would laugh. I got dinged, and yeah, I couldn't wait to come back in. And I think that while there's still, you know, ways to go there, and you want to look out for player safety, like, the concussion protocol has become a real thing that they're trying, at least attempting, to do right. And the COVID rules, like, they were able to play through a pandemic. Good for them. So you're telling me that we can't come up with a way that's improved upon the current overtime system? Like, maybe it's just four playoff games, where everybody gets each team gets a chance. Like, Buffalo didn't even get it. I know they got a chance. They got a chance to stop them. And if they held them to a field goal, they would have got it. But their offense never got a chance. Like, it still doesn't seem right to me.
Yeah. What about, we heard Andy Reid today talk about, well, the Bengals got a jump on us by a day, and it was important for us to get to work. I always feel like Andy Reid, I don't think he's been to bed since Saturday night, probably wee hours of Sunday morning. I think he goes right to work and crams, and the next, you know, he sounds tired. I'll be honest with you, a lot of times on these Monday press conferences. And, you know, why not have both the AFC games on Saturday and both the NFC games on Sunday, or vice versa? Why not do that just for the interest of fair play?
Well, you're talking about the divisional playoff round? Like, I mean, how about the 49ers, you know, who played it? They've played five of their last seven games on the road. They closed the season in L.A., short week in Dallas, short week in Green Bay. Like, I mean, that's what it is. The Rams played a Monday night game. So, I mean, there are all sorts of little advantages. So, Andy may not like that, that the Bengals played a day early, but guess who has to travel this weekend? The Bengals, and the Chiefs don't. So, is that fair? I mean, that's just how it is.
Well, I want to be clear. Andy Reid didn't complain. He just mentioned it. But we've had some of the fans say, hey, why do the Bengals – you know, it's fans that are saying it, just to be clear. But it seems like if you're going to play four and you know that, you know, the opponents, why wouldn't you have them play the same day? I mean, it seems like it's an easy – I hear you. Like, if you want to have a Monday Night Football game and have the extra window to generate the extra revenue, then teams have to play on short notice. I get that. But they're all going to play. You know, the winners are going to move on. This is one that, you know, there isn't an extra window. I get the Monday Nighter and the wild card. If you want that extra window, that's what somebody's going to have to do. So I get that, but they don't have to do it here. All they'd have to do is play both AFC games either on Saturday or Sunday, so the teams are the same. And, you know, likewise, I mean, that to me seems like an easy one, unless it's, well, no, there's more money in it from the networks if you do it like this. I don't understand what that would be, but that's why I'm asking you. Is there something I'm missing as to why you don't just play them on the same day, so the two teams that play in the conference championship game are on the same footing?
Yeah, well, I guess you're asking to fix something that to me is not broken, you know, and so I don't know. You could do it that way, but it's been done through time, and there are always ways to improve it. But I have no issues with the way it is.
Okay. Let's get to our final four. It's brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System. If you've got an urgent or orthopedic sports injury, see the experts who care for the Chiefs. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/sportsmedicine. I will start you with this. Is Tom Brady back with the Bucs?
Well, he's going to take some time here, like we talked about. To me, it's a coin flip. It could go either way. So we'll see how that goes.
Okay. What's the best game ever?
The best football game ever?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, you know, everybody's got their own favorite. Are we talking about the game yesterday is the best game ever? Like, people start putting it in that category?
That has been discussed, yes.
It was a great, 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 great game. I don't know. There are other games that just jump out to me. I think we're prisoners of the moment to a certain degree, right? Like, people don't remember this. I do, maybe because I was so close to it. I was covering the Broncos in 1997, and they played the Chiefs from the number one seed on a Saturday. And I think the final was like 13-10 in an ice storm in Kansas. It was an incredible game. Incredible. The Giants Patriots Super Bowl, where the Giants upended it, an unbeaten Patriot team, was an incredible game. There have been so many great games. I would just say yesterday. I mean, it was a classic. I mean, I don't know how you put that above some other game. I mean, it was right there. I don't know. It's up there, but I don't know if it's the best.
Okay, is Aaron Rodgers back with the Packers? Sounds like you got a better. You feel stronger on that one.
I would lean the other way. But look, you know, what people have to understand sometimes is the season ends. You know, everyone's tired, worn down. Everybody needs to take a break and kind of get away and process things, reassess. And just because Aaron Rodgers might feel one way today, maybe he feels a different way in a little bit. Like, that could be. But if I had to guess today, my guess would be, yes, that he'd be moving on. But we'll see. That doesn't mean I'm right.
Yeah. And finally, what's your Super Bowl pick now? Who beats who?
It feels a little bit like a rematch of that Monday night game to me. Both home games, both home teams. Those would be the teams that are favored this weekend. Couldn't you just see like that replays that Super Bowl playing all through that week leading up to it, right? Like, man, if the Super Bowl is anything like that Monday night game, it would be just tremendous theater. They played that game, I believe it was supposed to be played in Mexico and it was played in Los Angeles, if I'm not mistaken, if my memory serves me correctly. So that would be my pick right now, the Rams and the Chiefs, and that would be a heck of a matchup.
Yeah, it would. It would, as long as it's a different outcome with the Chiefs winning. That's the key. Adam, great stuff, buddy. We appreciate it. We'll talk again next week.
Thank you, Seren. Congratulations on the win yesterday. I hope Kansas City enjoys it.
The Program with Seren Petro.
He has the body of Adonis, but the eating habits of Homer Simpson.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the Joe's Kansas City Barbecue burnt end of the hour answer. How many times have both quarterbacks in a playoff game had 300 yards, 3 touchdowns, and no interceptions?
I won't say it's never happened. Like, usually you're playing better defenses, so, you know, the quarterbacking numbers generally for almost everybody go down. So I'm going to say this was the first.
It was the first. I found, I think, 7... seven occurrences in which there were 300 yards and 3 touchdowns, period. But only one with no interceptions, and it was last night.
Wow, that is amazing. Doesn't it now just absolutely prove that this was the greatest game that's ever been played?
Yes. It gets my vote.
I mean, I don't know what more you could have. I know there's like, you know, everybody seems to be resistant. You know, I asked Adam Schefter that, and he didn't want to go there, clearly. I mean, he's not exactly, you know.
Which is a little odd. That it's so much. Some people have, like, the recency bias. Usually the problem is people weigh too heavily what just happened.
you know, how could you, given that, how could people not overwhelmingly think it was last night? Just the graph of the win probability and how it looks like someone's having a heart attack or something at the end when it just goes red, blue, red, blue, red, blue, red in the last couple of minutes. It's insane.
Yeah, it means that both teams were defying massive odds.
Yeah.
You know, I read one thing, you know, there was so much to consume. I mean, I sat around watching everything on TV over and over again last night. And you know, I was trying to read everything I could find this morning. And one of the things I did read that I thought, by the way, Joe's Kansas City Barbecue, what we were playing for. Great Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. I was on with Dan Jacobs in Denver over the weekend. And Dan Jacobs bought his smoker at the Kansas City Barbecue store online. From Denver.
Wow.
Just to speak of the reach of Joe's Kansas City Barbecue and the Kansas City Barbecue Store, the Kansas City BBQ Store.com. Dan is he's awesome at it. He knows what he's doing. And he is, you know, he works at KOA there in Denver. He's also a lawyer. He's actually a judge, as a matter of fact. He went to school here in KC. At UMKC, and he still gets everything from the Kansas City Barbecue Store. I mean, I think that's as good an advertisement as you can get.
Yep.
Like, he's just ordering online and having it shipped to him in Denver. So love to our man Dan Jacobs out there in Denver. But, you know, I think we've conditioned ourselves to, like, you know, somebody goes, boy, that was a great game. All right, settle down. There have been better games. Like that's like we've – you know, we don't want to be that guy that just says this was the greatest game ever. And so I think we've conditioned ourselves to just say that every time it's not the greatest game. This one, it needs to be discussed.
Yes, and not only does it need to be discussed, I mean, someone's going to have to come to me with, because everyone, I mean, I realize that most people wake up in the morning and think.
You know what it's not? It's not 97 Broncos Chiefs.
Right.
Sorry, Adam. It's not.
But someone, you know, because I realize that most people in this town wake up in the morning and think, if I could just convince K-Dog of what I think, you know, my deal would be complete. So, no, I don't have the good housekeeping seal of approval, but if someone wants to convince me that something else was the best game, you better bring something pretty good, because when you consider there are so many elements to what makes a great game. If two no-name quarterbacks played yesterday's game or played a close contested game, it'd be one thing. The fact that it's maybe the two best quarterbacks in the league played a game of super high stakes and had things go the way they did last night, with each one of them making amazing play after amazing play after amazing play. Some of the stats I saw. Our friend Adam Teicher, who we hear every Friday here in the program, noted that the two quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes, this is from the two-minute warning on, was 10 of 13 for 188 and 2, and then Josh Allen was 5 of 7 for 102 and 2. The two quarterbacks combined were 15 of 20 for 290 yards and 4 touchdowns after the two-minute warning. What?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's insane, right?
It is.
Like, It's just the whole thing is it's comical as to how well. And I really do, you know, I've asked it, and people kind of, you know, I said, well, does it mean that defenses don't matter? I asked it of Andy Reid. We'll play that coming up here on the Need to Know. You know, and people just kind of like slump it off. Like, Andy Reid's like, oh, there's ebbs and flows. But, I mean, I really think that the quarterback play and the receiver play, the guy's ability to catch the football, has gotten to a point that I really do think defense is almost irrelevant. I mean, because the number one defense just got carved up. Number one, the best one. The best out of all of them.
In both carved. Measurements, yards and points.
Yards and points. And they smoked the Bills. I think it's amazing. We'll give you the things you need to know coming up next. Also, Trent Green, get his thoughts on this instant classic coming up next hour.
It's the Jazz End of the Hour Question on the Half Show. Sponsored by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.
Laissez le bon temps rouler.
All right, counting this year, how many times have three road teams won in the divisional playoff round? Brought to you by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.